Okay, let's now look to the Lord once again in prayer. Our Father, we have just now offered up a petition to Thee in the form of a song, praying for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to each of us. Lord, we're very conscious of our need of His working within us. So do work in us even now as we have opened up Your Word together. Bless Your Word to each one of our hearts. Show us the beauty of Your Son, that we would come to love Him more and to trust Him more. Lord, please enable us to bring all of our thoughts captive to Thee. And we would pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've turned together to Matthew chapter 15. What we're going to do this evening is to look at one of the most outstanding examples of a godly mother, I think, that can be found any place in the Scriptures. And what we learn from this woman really applies not just to mothers, but it applies to fathers, it applies to every Christian. I preached this text several years ago here. I think they would call that a retread. But it wasn't intended to be a retread, and actually I had no intentions on preaching this here this evening. I was sharing that with Pastor Bart, but I kept getting drawn back to it. And so as a result of that, here we are in Matthew chapter 15, looking at a godly mom rather than being where I thought we were going to be, and that is in Hebrews chapter 13, looking at the subject of love. Well, here we are in Matthew 15, and we're going to look at just a wonderful mom. Let's read from verse 21 to verse 28. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman came out from that region and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But He did not answer her a word. And His disciples came to Him and kept asking Him, saying, "Send her away, for He is shouting out after us." But He answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down before Him, saying, "Lord, help me." And He answered and He said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord. But even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, your faith is great. Be it done to you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. Now from verse 21, we learn that the Lord Jesus had withdrawn to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon, they were located on the coast of the Mediterranean. And the purpose of the Lord Jesus withdrawing to that district was to get away from the multitudes and to have some time alone with His disciples. Now, even though Tyre and Sidon were far removed from Galilee, the people there in that district, they had heard all about the Lord Jesus and they knew about His miracles. Mark's Gospel says from Jerusalem and from Idumea and beyond the Jordan and the vicinity of Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude heard of all that He was doing and they came to Him. Now what those people did not know and what the Lord Jesus didn't want them to know was that He was right there amongst them. This is one of the reasons the disciples wanted the woman to be sent away from them, because as she was crying out to the Lord Jesus, she was making a terrible scene and she was going to draw the attention of other people. And then they were going to lose this time alone and multitudes were going to swarm on Jesus, as it always happened. So they wanted her to be sent away. Now, somehow, this particular woman, who is only identified as a Canaanite woman, somehow she discovered that the Lord Jesus was there. And finding out that he was there, she immediately sought for him. So what makes this woman such an outstanding example of a godly mother? Well, just the fact that she is such an example, it is remarkable, considering the fact that she was a Gentile woman, living in a heathen land and living amongst a people who were idolaters. But in spite of her environment in which she lived, she had a remarkable strong faith in the Lord Jesus, and she recognized him as being the promised Messiah, which is far more than most of the people of Israel recognize. She cries out to him as being the Lord, the Son of David. That's a title of Messiah. Well, we're going to consider this woman under three headings. First of all, we're going to see that she was a very humble mother. Secondly, she was a believing mother. And thirdly, she was a praying mother. So let's begin with this lady's humility. Humility, as we know, is one of the crowning graces of a Christian. And when reading the account here of the Canaanite mother, you're immediately struck with the fact that here we have a very humble mother before us. Her humility is seen in her cry to the Lord. In verse 22, she cries out, "Have mercy on me." And in verse 25, she cries, "Lord, help me." By pleading for mercy, she is acknowledging that she didn't have any merit of her own. She wasn't deserving of the Lord's help, nor was her daughter deserving of the Lord's help. All this woman could do was to plead for mercy. She didn't tell the Lord how great a faith that she had, and she did have a remarkable faith. She didn't demand that the Lord help her daughter, nor did she suggest that in any way he was obligated to do so. Now that would be real news to many a professing Christian today who think they can name it and claim it. Well, this woman here isn't naming it and claiming it. She simply and humbly cries out, "Lord, have mercy on me." And this woman's humility is also further seen in verse 25, where she simply says, "Lord, help me." And in that cry, she is acknowledging that she didn't have any ability of her own to deal with the situation. This is way beyond her. She was helpless. She sees her daughter, as she describes it, cruelly demon-possessed. And here's a mother who had no power to deliver her daughter from such terrible agony. She is totally dependent upon the Lord's mercy and also upon the Lord's power. So she sees herself as unworthy, and so she prays for mercy. She sees herself without power, so she prays for the Lord's help. She didn't come before the Lord with any demands. She came before the Lord with pleading with him to help her. Verse 25, "But she came and she bowed down before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.'" It's very significant to notice the context in which those words were spoken. The context can take into verses 23, 24, and 25. Let's read those again. It says, "But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and kept asking him, saying, 'Send her away, for she is shouting out after us.' But he answered and he said, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.'" Those words, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." Here the Lord Jesus is speaking of exclusiveness. The Gentiles were excluded. This Canaanite woman, she didn't belong to the covenant people of God. To use the words of Paul describing Gentiles in Ephesians 2, it says, "Remember that formerly you, Gentiles in the flesh, were separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." That was that Gentile mother. This Gentile mother was an outsider. Jesus said, "I was sent only to the house of Israel." Now, at hearing those kind of words, I think it's safe to say most seekers would have turned away with bitterness filling up in their hearts. And we encounter Christians like that, don't we? People who profess to be Christians and yet they're very bitter towards God, because God didn't respond to them and to their situation as they felt that He should have. And they've become bitter towards God. Well, this Canaanite mother, she didn't respond in that way. She responded with humility. She had no rightful claims upon God's goodness, and she knew it. And knowing it, she simply, humbly cries out for God's mercy and God's help. There's yet further demonstration of her humility seen in verses 26 and 27. It says, "And he answered and he said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and to throw it to the dogs.'" That was a common expression amongst the Jews towards Gentiles. They were looked at as dogs. "But she said, 'Yes, Lord. But even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table.'" Do you notice here that this lady, she agrees with Jesus about being a dog. In verse 27, she says, "Yes, Lord." What basically she is saying is, "Yes, Lord, I'm a Gentile dog. Yes, I'm not deserving of the special privileges which belongs to the house of Israel. I'm not asking for Israel's portion. I'm only pleading for the crumbs of mercy which fall from the table." That's humility. She bows down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. She begs for mercy. She gladly accepts the place of a dog if it means being beneath the master's table. That's a very special and it's a very humble woman. Well, that brings us into our second heading. And not only was the Canaanite woman a humble woman, a humble mother, but she was also a woman of great faith. The Lord Jesus says of her in verse 28, "O woman, your faith is great." We don't find Jesus saying that too often during his earthly ministry, but he said it to her. Here we find humility coupled with faith. And those two things go together. They always go together. We have already observed here that this woman realized that she didn't deserve divine mercy. And that was the strength of her faith, knowing that. She knows full well she doesn't deserve God's goodness, God's grace. And that's what gave her such a strong faith. Knowing she deserved nothing from God, she relied totally upon God's grace. Now, there's a real lesson here for us to learn. When we think that God loving us, accepting us, His answering our prayers depends somehow on how well we're doing in living the Christian life, we're not going to have very much assurance of God's acceptance, and we're not going to have any confidence that God's going to answer our prayers. And the reason for that is if we're looking at ourselves and how well we're performing as a Christian, you immediately discover, if you're honest with yourself, that we're not performing so very well. Looking at self isn't a good place to look when it comes to anticipating God's goodness towards us. We look at ourselves and we discover we fail in so many different ways. And we sin in countless ways. We can identify with David when he says in the Psalms that his sins were too numerous to count, that they outnumbered the hairs of his head. We know what David was talking about. The strength of this woman's faith was knowing that she deserved nothing from the Lord. And knowing that, she relied totally upon God's grace. She knew the Lord was merciful to the undeserving. And knowing that, looking unto God and what God's like, that emboldened her to press on in her pleas. And she pressed on in her pleas no matter what obstacles were laid in her way. And there were certainly some obstacles that were put in the way of this lady. There were at least four of them. First of all, there was a test that came upon her faith by means of the silence of Jesus. Verses 22 and 23. And behold, a Canaanite woman came out of from that region and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." And here's a startling statement. He did not answer her a word. This whole account here and how the Lord's dealing with her is strange, isn't it? He doesn't respond to her. She's a desperate mom. And she's in a desperate situation. He doesn't say anything. Chrysostom, he says, "The word has no word. The fountain is sealed. The physician holds back his remedy." Now, I'm sure we can identify with this woman in this respect. How many times have you prayed earnestly, prayed in a desperate situation perhaps, and it seems like there's been nothing but silence from heaven? It seems like as you're praying and as you're pleading, that you're not talking to anybody except maybe yourself. It doesn't seem like your prayers are getting beyond the ceiling. It just seems like there's silence from God, that He's not listening to you. He's not paying any attention to you. It seems that way. Well, this is what the Canaanite mother experienced. Her pleas for her daughter, they were met with just silence from the Lord Jesus. It doesn't appear that He paid any attention to her whatsoever. The second test of this mother's faith came by way of the disciples. Verse 23 says, "He did not answer her a word, and His disciples came to Him and kept asking Him, saying, 'Send her away, for she is shouting out after us.'" Now, it isn't actually, we can't say for certain what was in the minds of the disciples. We know they wanted Jesus to get rid of her. What we don't know is, did they mean when they said, "Send her away," did they mean give her her request and send her away, or just simply tell her to go away and not bother us? Whatever the disciples meant in their asking the Lord Jesus to send her away, the only thing that the woman knew is that these 12 men were annoyed with her and they're requesting the Lord Jesus to get rid of her. One thing we see from this is other Christians can some kind discourage us, can't they? Big time. Sometimes they can be used by Satan as obstacles to hinder us in our following after the Lord Jesus. Other Christians. We know that with certainty because we can look at the example of Peter and how Satan used Peter to try to dissuade the Lord Jesus from doing His Father's will. Remember the very strong rebuke of Jesus that He gave to Peter. Remember Peter's The Lord Jesus has explained to them that He's going to suffer, He's going to die. 3 days later, He's going to rise again. Remember, Peter, far be it from you, Lord, that you suffer all this. It says, Jesus turned and He said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me, for you're not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's." Here was Satan using one of the Lord's dearest friends be a stumbling block to him. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul speaks of a thorn in his side, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. John MacArthur, he observes that some of those thorns that Peter speaks of may have faces. In other words, other Christians. other Christians sometimes can become a thorn. It's vital that every one of us make sure we're not the thorn. Well, this Canaanite woman, she didn't give in to discouragement. In spite of what those disciples are saying, in spite of the fact that so far the Lord Jesus hadn't said anything, she just presses on. The third test of her faith came in the words that Jesus spoke to the disciples, verse 24. But he answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, we've already looked at that, and we see that he's talking here about exclusiveness of the Lord's ministry while he was here on earth. It was confined primarily, not exclusively, but primarily it was confined to the Jews. Now, everything this desperate mother had heard so far hadn't been encouraging at all. But still, the worst was yet to come. When the Lord Jesus finally did acknowledge her, his words were very disheartening. Verse 26, and he answered and he said, it is not good to take the children's bread and to throw it to the dogs. This basically had the same meaning as he had already said when he was saying that he was only sent to the house of Israel. It was exclusive. There was no place for the Gentiles. His mission was to disperse God's mercies to Israel. Now, the Gentiles were going to have their portion too, but that was primarily going to come through the apostles when the gospel would be preached to them after Jesus had died and risen again and ascended to glory. But for now, the bulk of the mercies was reserved for Israel. Now, any one of these obstacles, I would venture to say, would have caused most of us just to give up. Just to give up. If this is the way it is, I give up. I'm not going to keep on praying. But not so with this mother, because she had a great faith. And that kept her going. Every obstacle set in her way, it seems like it only served to strengthen her faith and make her even more bold to sue for mercy. Nothing could stop this woman. Every obstacle, it was overcome by faith. Just notice this here. How did faith respond to the silence of the Lord? Mark tells us how she responded. It says there that she kept on asking. And that's why it says here in verse 23 that the disciples kept asking him to send her away. The disciples, they kept asking Jesus to send her away because she kept on shouting out after the Lord Jesus. She would not be silent and she would not go away. Whether Jesus turned around and spoke with her or not, it didn't matter to her. She was going to keep pursuing after him persistently until finally she got what she came for. Maybe she noticed that Jesus didn't respond to the disciples' request and send her away. And that's in perfect keeping with what Jesus says about himself in John 6. He says there, the one who comes to me, I certainly will not cast out. And he didn't. Here you have this Canaanite woman coming to the Lord Jesus. The disciples are basically saying, cast her out, get rid of her. And the Lord Jesus isn't doing it. So perhaps she picked up on that. He's not sending me away. And so she just waxed more bold. The Lord Jesus tells us actually the opposite of going away or his sending us away. Matthew 7, we all know it. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it shall be open. The verb in each one of those means to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And the Lord Jesus promises he will respond to us. And that's exactly what this Canaanite woman did. She just kept on. And then when the Lord Jesus spoke of exclusiveness of his ministry to Israel, rather than just going home in despair, this desperate woman, she became more bold. And rather than drawing back from him, she comes nearer to him. Look at verses 24 and 25. This is really beautiful. It says, but he answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. That word but emphasizes an unexpected response. She didn't conclude that there was no mercy to be found. On the contrary, she actually, apparently, gets in front of the Lord Jesus. And she bows down before him. The Lord Jesus at this point would actually have to step around her in order to avoid her. But he stopped. So rather than going away, even though the ministry of Jesus seems to be exclusive, this woman needs to get help for her daughter. And so she bows in the dust before him. This woman is a woman of great faith. She knows that God is the God who is plenteous in mercy. Maybe, we don't know, but maybe she knew Psalm 86. It says this, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. The Lord is rich in mercy. And her conclusion is, then surely there's mercy enough for her and for her daughter. And so she bows before him and pleads for it. And finally, there's this issue of her being an unworthy Gentile dog. How did she respond to that? 26 and 27 once again. And he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But, there's that but again. But, she said, yes, Lord. But even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. This dear mother gladly assumes the position of just the lowest rung on the human ladder. That's what's being suggested here of being a dog. She gladly assumes the lowest position in the human race if she can just sue for mercy. Even though she knew she wasn't worthy of the bounty on the master's table, she also knew that just crumbs of mercy coming from the Lord Jesus was infinitely more than what she needed. Just crumbs. That's what she wants. Just give me crumbs. Crumbs from the Lord Jesus. Just one divine crumb was all that she needed to restore her daughter if the crumb came from Christ. Listen to what Spurgeon says about our Lord's just unusual response to this humble, believing mother and what the purpose of the response was. Spurgeon says this, I never saw the Lord before in such a mood as when he spake to this woman of great faith. Did you ever read of his speaking such rough words? Did such a hard sentence at any other time ever fall from his lips as, it is not good to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs? Ah, he knew her well, and he knew that she could stand the trial and would be greatly benefited by it, and that he would be glorified by her faith throughout all the future ages. Therefore, with good reason, he put her through the athletic exercises which train a vigorous faith. Doubtless for our sake, he drew her through a test to which he would never have exposed her had she been a weakling and unable to sustain it. She was trained and developed by his rebuffs. While his wisdom tried her, his grace sustained her. That's beautiful, eh? John MacArthur, he makes this beautiful observation. Jesus put up the barriers not to keep her away, but to draw her closer. He put up barriers that only genuine, persistent faith could hurdle. And the Lord, knowing all things, he knew she had the faith. Well, the third thing that must be seen in this Canaanite mother is that she was a praying mother. Verse 22, "And behold, a Canaanite woman came out from that region and began to cry out, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed.'" And verse 25, "But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.'" One of the greatest needs of the church today are praying mothers. Just like this Canaanite mother. I think probably every Mother's Day sermon that I've ever preached over all of the years, we always get to that point. Because I think this is the most crucial point. The greatest need of our church and of this church here and of every true church are praying mothers. Just to demonstrate that, ask yourself the question, what would have become of this little girl had her mother not so desperately and perseveringly interceded for her? What would have become of that little girl? What would have become of that little girl who's cruelly demon-possessed if her mom thought, you know, I do hear that the Lord Jesus, he's walking down such and such a road, but I'm not going to take the time today. I'm not going to do it. Or I don't think the Lord Jesus, I don't think he'll bother with me. I don't think he'll bother listening to my prayers. It's just, for whatever reason, I'm not going to do this. What would have become of that little demon-possessed girl? What would become of the children of this church if they are not earnestly prayed for? What would become of the children of this church? I'm positive we all know by now that they just don't automatically become Christians because you bring them to church. It's not automatic. Ephesians 6 and verse 11 says, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." That's our enemy, and that's the enemy of our children. Peter says, "Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." That someone the devil is seeking to devour, it includes children, the children of Christian parents. Satan will devour their eternal souls if he's permitted to. And if you have any doubt about that, just look at our text here and what he's doing. It was a little girl, we are told, that had fallen prey to Satan. Satan is void, absolutely void of pity. He doesn't look upon children as those sweet, nice little beautiful children. He sees them as victims. He sees them as prey. And he wants to destroy them. The church and the family are in desperate need of praying mothers. Moms, be sure that what you are giving to your children is what they need the most. What they need the most is not designer clothes. Not what they need the most. It's not their own cell phone or the latest high-tech novelty or whatever else the children can be asking for. It's not what they need most. What they need most is a godly mother, a humble, believing, praying mother who will spend much time pleading with God that He would have mercy upon their lost souls. That's what these kids need. And I'm applying this to moms. Our children need dads who will do the same thing. Matthew Henry, he said, "It is the duty of parents to pray for their children and to be earnest in prayer for them, especially for their souls. I have a son, a daughter, grievously vexed with a proud will, an unclean devil, a malicious devil, led captive by him at his will. Lord, help me. Bring them to Christ by faith and prayer, who alone is able to heal them. Where else could this woman go to find help for her child? Where else? Where else could she go? And if she didn't get it from the Lord Jesus, there was just no one else to turn to. There was nothing else. Nothing. There was no other remedy. And it's the same for us. There is no other remedy for our kids. It's all found in the Lord Jesus and in His saving mercy and in His saving power. We have to plead with the Lord for it. Well, let's conclude with just two very brief thoughts. First, what would you do if you were the Canaanite woman with a demon-possessed child? What would you do? What would you do if you heard that the Lord Jesus was in the area? You could actually go to Him and plead with Him like this woman did. What would you do? What would us dads do? You young people here tonight, you young adults, even the children here who profess to know the Lord, what would you do if it were your sister or your brother, or maybe it was your best friend, maybe it was your mom or your dad? What would you do? We'd all like to think that we'd do exactly what this Canaanite mother did. That is, that we would pursue after the Lord Jesus, we would plead with Him to deliver our child or our best friend, and we wouldn't stop until the Lord answered us. We would like to think that we will do just what she would do. But we don't have to imagine what we would do. We don't have to use our imagination. We only have to look at what we actually do. What do you do? Do we humble ourselves before the Lord and plead for the souls of our children? And when I speak of our children, I'm not speaking only of the children in your immediate family. I'm speaking of the children that is in this church family. Do you plead with the Lord? Desperately plead with them. Really serious about pleading with the Lord for your children, like this Canaanite woman did. You know, unsaved children, unsaved teens, unsaved adults, they're in every bit as much of a spiritual need as was this woman, this little girl was, who is cruelly demon-possessed. Every bit as much of a spiritual need. And only the Lord can meet the need. We really have to give ourselves to prayer. We really do. Don't be skipping prayer meeting. I know you're tired after work. I know that. It's dreadfully inconvenient to come out to prayer meeting. I know that. But where does the Lord want you to be? I would think He would like you to be here, if for no other reason, as to pray for the kids in this church, pleading for them. And I'm not limiting our prayers just to prayer meeting, although I'd certainly include that. I'm speaking of every day pleading with God, so that your voice is a familiar sound in the throne room of God, because you're constantly there pleading with God. We need to be as Jacob. Remember how he wrestled with the Lord all night? And the Lord, he said, let me go. Jacob isn't going to let the Lord go. And so his socket is put out of joint, but he ain't going to let him go. You realize what pain that man was in? But he's not going to let the Lord go until he blesses them. That's how desperate Jacob was. That's how desperate we have to be. The Lord tells us not to give him any rest. He doesn't want us to give. He doesn't want us to give him rest. He wants us to be like this lady here, constantly pleading for her daughter until the Lord responds. Well, secondly, we must remember that we have every reason to pray and to pray with great faith. And that's because we have a great Savior who is plenteous in mercy. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need." This is certainly a time of need, isn't it? We're constantly in a time of need. And so we constantly should be drawing near to God with confidence. Remember, He'll receive us. If you're trusting in Christ, He's going to receive you. And He's going to listen to you. When you pray, you know the feeling. You feel your own sinfulness. You're very conscious of your own unworthiness. You know how weak you are. You can't help but having feelings like that because you're entering into the very presence of a holy God. Let those feelings drive you to plead even more for mercy. Those feelings will drive you to trust in God's grace and to realize you don't have any merit of your own, but you're going to the God that He describes Himself as being the God of all grace, the God of all mercy. That's who you're praying to. And He came not to receive the righteous. He came for sinners. He came for you. Let Him find you before His throne constantly, praying for Him, praying to Him and pleading with Him for your children and for the lost. God will hear you just like He heard this Canaanite woman. Not because you deserve to be heard, but because He's merciful. That's our hope. For assuredly, He does not give help to angels, but He gives help to the descendants of Abraham. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, let's pray. Our Father, we really thank You for having this recorded in Your Word about the Canaanite woman. We can learn so much from her. We ask that the Holy Spirit would impress the lessons that we should learn from her, that He would impress those lessons deeply upon our very souls. So much is at stake. May we be a people of prayer. Lord, have mercy upon us. We know we're unworthy. Unworthy of even a crumb. But You're plenteous in mercy. And we'll gladly, gladly receive the crumbs which would fall from our Master's table, because they come from Thee. Be gracious to each one of us. May the Holy Spirit strengthen us and strengthen our faith, that we would be a people of prayer. This night, Lord, send each one of us on our way from this place, resting in Jesus and rejoicing in Him. And we pray this in His most precious name. Amen.